Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and I am so happy that you tuned in today. We have another wonderful, exciting, informative show, and in honor of this being Breast Cancer Month, my guest is a cancer survivor, and her name is Miriam Beckett. And so at this time, I'd like to bring her in and have her tell us about this journey. And so I hope that you will listen and learn a lot. Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
I'm doing well, Casey. Good morning, and thank you for having me this morning.
Well, I tell you, you are really, it's an honor to have you this morning, and an honor, and I'm happy to say that you are a survivor. So the story that you will be telling us will be informative and then enlightening to those that may be going through a very difficult time.
Well, thank you, and I hope that all of what I'm about to share with you will not only put a smile on somebody's face, but it will warm their heart and educate them as well.
Yeah.
I had lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I was diagnosed in May of 2011. And it started by really having a mammogram. They made me have 5 in one day. So when I had 5, after the 3rd one, I knew something was wrong. And she said after the 5th one, I guess you know we're trying to figure out what's wrong. I says, yes, because I've been here now for a long time and everybody has come and go and I'm still here. She says, I need you to see your doctor when you leave here. So I said, okay, fine. I would not claim anything. I said there's probably something wrong with their machine. And that's how I left. And I prayed all the way home. And then when I got home, I called my doctor. And so he said, okay, we'll have a CAT scan done. And I had the CAT scan done. And they didn't see anything. But they said they wanted me to repeat it. I said, well, if you didn't see anything, why I got to repeat it? So he says, well, I'm 85% sure, but I want to be 100% sure. So a week later, they repeated it, and he says, well, I'd like you to come back in 6 months. So I said, okay, fine, and I dismissed that too. And I just decided it was best that I just continue to pray and focus on being whole and healed with whatever.
Exactly.
It was.
Exactly.
So I concentrated on that, and then when I went back to work, I was feeling okay, but coming home, I was actually coming from South Africa, and I got this terrible pain in my left lower quadrant of my abdomen. So the first thing I thought was maybe I had eaten something that didn't agree with me, and I thought that's what it was. Well, as the flight progressed, so did the pain. Well, we were only an hour and a half into the flight. So finally, I had to ask one of the flight attendants, I said, look, I've got to leave this beverage cart for a minute and use the restroom. And I
If I may clear that up for my listeners, you were a Delta flight attendant. So at this point, you were working. So you were on the airplane.
Correct.
Working. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. I was actually working, and I was in Johannesburg. That was my layover, and I was coming back to Atlanta. And on the way back is when this pain occurred. So I had some pain medicine in my bag. I took it, but that pain medicine only helped me for 4 hours. Well, we still had 12 more hours to go.
Oh, my.
Yes. So then I prayed some more, and I counted how many pills I had. I only had 2 more. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I have to divide that into 12 and pray. And that's what I did. And when I got to Atlanta, the pain was so bad, I didn't know how I was going to carry my bags. So after I got through customs, I just asked this guy, could you carry this bag for me for a little bit? And he did. And I said, that's fine. You can't go any further than here because we have to go in another area. So I struggled with the bag, and when I got to the bus stop, I said, I have no idea how I'm going to get this bag on this bus. And here came this ramp agent out of nowhere. He says, I'll get that bag for you.
Yes.
And he said, let me get that bag for you. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And he put the bag on the bus for me. And so then I didn't worry about it till it was time to get off. He says, I don't know. I'm going to get the bus off, you know, the bag off the bus. So when it came time to get it off, this flight attendant said, let me help you with that bag. I said, well, if you could just get it off the rack, I'd appreciate it. And then I just kicked it off the bus because at that point I didn't care.
Yeah.
And I got to my car, and I was in so much pain, I cried, I screamed, and then I called my doctor. And I said, I need your help. I'm in so much pain, and I don't know what's wrong. He says, okay, come to the office. Calm down. Can you drive to the office? I says, I'm going to do my best. And I did. So he gave me some medicine. I took it, and I came home, and I went to sleep. I took that medicine. I began to feel better, and I felt I'm going to be fine. And I was for 3 weeks. I was wonderful. I even celebrated and went back onto South Africa because I said, I'm fine. I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor said, I want to send you to have a CAT scan. I said, okay. So I went and had the CAT scan, and again I prayed, and I said, I know I'm fine. It's nothing going to be shown. The doctor that he sent me to was a gastroenterologist, and he said, it's probably nothing, but we just want to be sure. That's why your doctor sent you to us. So I had the CAT scan, went back to work, got a phone call, said I need to come into the office. So I said, okay. And they said, we want you to stop all the medicine that we gave you. You don't have what we thought you had. We want you to see an oncologist. I said, I beg your pardon? He says, I want you to see an oncologist. Do you have one? I said, why would I have an oncologist? There's nothing wrong with me. And he said, would you like me to recommend one? I said, no.
And you are a registered nurse. So at
Correct.
This point, you were not having to read between the lines. You knew exactly what they were saying.
Well, I knew what he was saying because I asked for a copy of the report. And when I read the report, I read it 3 times, and I kept saying, it does have my name on it. And I kept saying, oh, my God, how could this be? So I came home. My son was with me, and he said, how did your visit with the doctor go? I said, not very well. I don't want to talk about it right now. So we rode in silence, and then I went home, and I said, Maren, you're going to have to deal with this, and you're going to have to face it as with everything you got. And I cried, and I prayed. And then I started searching for an oncologist. So I called a friend of mine who I had helped with breast cancer. I said, well, I'll find out what her doctor's name. And everybody who I had helped through another organization I was with, Ladies Day, I called them to see who their oncologist was. And then I started doing my homework. And so then I picked one. And then when I called, they said, well, he can't see you for another 6 weeks. I said, you don't understand. That is not acceptable. I need to see him within the next week. And I don't care what you have to do to get me in there within the next week, but since I have the address, I will come by if I don't have an appointment within the next week. She said, could you hold on a minute, please? I said, yes, ma'am. She came back and she says, okay, you can come in on Friday at 10:30. I said, thank you. What's your name? And I made sure I saw her to thank her in person. So when I went, the doctor explained to me that I was going to have a series of blood work done, and he would determine at that time what the next step would be. So after I got the first set of blood work, which was about 15 tubes of blood, he then said, I don't think you have anything. I'm 95% sure. But right now, I just would like you to make another appointment in a month. I said, okay, that's fine. So I still was dismissing that I was fine. And in 2 weeks, his nurse called and said, the doctor wants you to come in. He wants you to have another test. I said, well, he told me a month. He says he had second thoughts. I said, okay, fine. I came in. We did another set of blood work. And then he says, and you're going to have a CAT scan. And I want to set you up for a biopsy. I said, well, why do I have to have all of this if I don't have anything? He says, I want to be 100% sure. I said, okay. That was all done in May. So in June of 2011, I was set up for a CAT scan, a PET scan, a biopsy, and a port insertion. I felt like I was in a whirlwind because every test was different.
And how are you feeling at this point? Are you still working?
I was still working.
And you're not in pain?
I wasn't in the pain like I was, but I was doing little trips. I wasn't going out of the country because I was too afraid.
Yes.
So I dropped all my trips that was out of the country, and I just did little tiny trips, I called them, like to Orlando and back. And when I had the CAT scan is when they determined they wanted to do a bone marrow aspiration. Well, then I knew I couldn't work because I knew how painful that was. So I dropped that trip, and they said, the good news is you're not stage four because the bone marrow does not show any cancer cells. The bad news is you still got to go through the rest of these tests. I said, thank you. That was very helpful. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I left. And then the next day was the next test, which was a PET scan. So because now I'm starting to have a little bit of anxiety and I was scared and didn't know where I was going, I decided anybody who touched me next, we were going to pray first. So I asked the technician, excuse me, do you mind before you put that needle in my hand, could we say a little prayer? She said, sure. So we said a little prayer, and then she said, now can I start? I said, yes, ma'am, you can start. Because with the PET scan, it's a radioactive material that they have to inject you with. And, you know, that's called positron emission tomography, which is a heat type of test where they can actually see all of your cancer cells and your organs, as well as the blood flow, to see what is working properly and what is not in any abnormal cells. So she said, try to lay as still as you can and don't move. Well, you're in this big old machine that you look like you're out of space. So what I decided to do, again, was just pray and close my eyes and pretend that I was on the beach in the Bahamas. And that
exactly.
Worked fine.
Oh, exactly. Now, is it painful, though? You said it was a warming effect or a heating effect.
Yeah,
it was a
warming sensation that you feel as it travels through your body.
Okay.
And it's not uncomfortable. It's just a little annoying.
Okay.
So I just kept saying that was the sun on my, you know, traveling through my body. I had to make everything in my mind acceptable, like it was the sun and that this was water that I was traveling through.
Exactly.
And that worked. And then she said, okay, it's over. And I said, hallelujah. I said, do I have to do anything else? Can I just leave? She said, well, we need to observe you for 30 minutes. I said, okay. So I waited my 30 minutes, and she says, okay, looks like you've been just fine. You can leave now. She says, but you have to check in with your doctor. I said, okay. So then, after all of those tests, I went back to my doctor. He said, well, I have good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first? I said the good news. My son said the bad news. I said, well, I'm the patient. So we said the good news first. So the good news was I was in stage 4. I was stage 3. So I said, well, what happened to stage 1 and 2? He says, I don't know. We just got to deal with what we got. He says, you're stage 3, borderline stage 4. I said, is that good or bad? He said, well, so I knew that meant he didn't really want to answer that question. So I said, okay, where do we go from here? He said, the bad news is we have to start as soon as possible. I said, how soon is soon? He says, I give you 2 weeks to get everything in order. I said, what? 2 weeks? That's it? He says, yes. We have to start as soon as possible. He says, and you're going to have a biopsy and the port insertion. And you have to have all of that done before I see you again. I said, that is not a lot of time. He said, it's okay. I'm sure you'll work it out. I said, thank you. You've been most generous, and I really do appreciate it. So when I left, I just felt like I was lost.
Exactly.
I just felt lost. So I just prayed again. I just prayed all the way home. I said, 2 weeks? How do I get everything in order in 2 weeks? And I kept saying, take one day at a time. Take 1 hour at a time. And then take one moment at a time. And I said, you ain't never let anything beat you. This ain't going to beat you either. Get everything done in 2 weeks. So I did. So when it was time for me to have the biopsy, I asked the surgeon, well, since the pain was in my lower abdomen, are you going to take the biopsy from there? He said, no, I decided to take it from underneath your armpit because we could run into some issues in the abdomen, and I don't want you to bleed out on me on the table. I says, okay, good. He said, you're not going to be out, but you won't feel anything. I said, okay. He had the most gentlest bedside manner that I had ever witnessed of a surgeon in all my years of nursing. He even kissed my hand before they put the IV in it. And I said, you know what? I love you.
Yes,
is everybody else here like you? Because if that's the case, this is going to be a piece of cake.
Yes.
And he smiled. And he was wonderful. So I prayed before anybody touched me. And any time anybody prayed, some of them actually prayed with me and prayed after me, it wasn't like a breeze. I didn't have any problems at all. So once I started chemo, which was going to be now we're in July, I prayed, and Evelina Caston and my son went with me because my son felt like he needed some support. So
yes,
they both went with me. And on day one, any and everything that could have went wrong did. I had a reaction to the medicine. I couldn't talk. They had to give me another medicine to counteract some of the medicine that they already gave me. My blood pressure shot up to 220 over 120. Then they had to call up my cardiologist and my doctor because they wasn't sure if they could continue. So they said, we got to finish with day one, and we'll see how you do when you come back tomorrow because you had to do 3 days in a row initially.
And now this is radiation? Or chemo?
Chemo.
Okay.
So they started with three medications day one, three more medications day two, and one more medication on day three because they were trying to decide on what they call my chemo cocktail, which is a combination of medicines that they were going to be giving me. So as it turns out, I was going to be receiving 8 medications at a time, and that's why they divided up into 3 days initially. After that, I would be receiving all 8 on the same day.
In one time. And and how long would these sessions last when you would go in for the treatment? Is it through IV and is this like an hour
or so
that you...
All of it was IV and it would run from... It was all day. Like, I would have to be there 8 o'clock in the morning and I would leave sometimes... Well, the first day I didn't leave until 6 o'clock. So I was there at 8. I didn't leave till 6 in the evening because of all of the things that went wrong. It delayed a lot of what I was doing. So they had to push things back. So I was there till 6:30 the first day. The second day, I was there until 7. The third day, I was there till 5. Then after that, they said, well, we'll see how you do. You have to come back on Friday because you have to get a Neulasta shot. I said, well, how long do I have to be here on Friday? They said, you'll just come in for the shot and then you'll go home. I said, so that's like 30 minutes? They said, yeah, give or take. We'll observe you just for a little while and then we'll let you go. So it wound up being an hour. So they did tell me one of the side effects from that shot was some back pain. But they said, it's bearable. Well, 4 days later, out of my sleep, the back pain was so excruciating, I thought I was going to slit my wrists. I was literally screaming because I didn't know if it was the medicine or if something had happened during my sleep. So I called the doctor. They told me to come in, and it was as a result of the medicine. And that lasted the whole time I was going through chemo. Every time I had that shot, I would have that
reaction,
severe back pain. So after the second one, I decided to call my massage therapist because I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it through all 6 rounds of chemo that they wanted me to have. They told me I would either have 6 rounds or 8 rounds, depending on how I did. So after the second round, I said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. So this massage therapist, he said, time it to when you think the pain will come, and then that's when I'll work on you. And that's what I did for the duration of me going through chemo, for 6 rounds.
Mm.
After the 6th round, they told me I was finished and that it didn't appear that I needed to have the 7th or 8th round. I had to have a CAT scan, and it showed that most of the cancer cells had been targeted and gone.
Oh, great, great.
That was great news. And they said, you'll start to feel a little like yourself in 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
Well, I started feeling worse in 3 weeks and a little more worse in the 4th week. And by the 6th week, I called them and I said, what is going on? I'm going to need to come in. I feel worse now than I felt through all of the chemo. So they had me to come in. They did a CAT scan. They said, well, seems like you might be having a problem with your liver. We're going to send you to a liver specialist. I said, okay. The next day, I woke up, and I was so yellow, I knew something was totally wrong. And I said, oh, dear, now I got to go for this test. I'm yellow as a yellow canary. And I knew from the reaction, I looked in the mirror, I said, people are going to freak out when they see me. And that's exactly what happened. My girlfriend, who happened to be Brenda Gray, who came to take me for that test, she looked at me, she saw me, she just sort of looked at me, she didn't say anything. I went for the test, came out, and I said, Brenda, am I that yellow? And she says, you're pretty yellow. And because the nurse who was now doing this next test, an ultrasound of my liver, she says, you poor baby, you are so yellow. And I was like, well, okay. So needless
but
to say,
but not in excruciating pain. You're not in pain. That's just the effects because you're jaundiced, but you're not in pain.
I'm not in pain, no.
Okay, okay. But that's
so then... I went to this doctor. He says, well, you're in liver failure. I said, really?
No.
He says, yes. He says, now, I've looked over everything with all the tests. I've looked over everything. He says, I know you were sent to me because you needed help, but unfortunately, I cannot help you. I said, well, I was not expecting that answer. He says, but I have found somebody who can help you. And I said, okay, that's great. But I knew something was going on because the nurses and was acting all funny. And so I said, well, is everything all right? He says, yes, everything is all right. But like I said, the nurses was acting funny. So I knew everything was not all right. I read body language very well. And they said, we're going to put you in a room. I said, why do I have to go in a room? There's nobody here but me. Just tell me what's going on. Well, they want to find you a room, Miss Beckett. I says, okay, if the room is going to make you happy, fine. So they found me a room because all the rooms was empty. And the nurse came in and she says, Miss Beckett, I am so sorry. And she was pale as a sheet. I said, what's wrong, honey? And she said, Miss Beckett, I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to go into the hospital. And we've made arrangements and you're going to be admitted. I says, when? In a couple of days? She says, no, in a couple of hours. I said, a couple of hours? I haven't eaten. I've been going through tests all day. She says, yes, I know, but you're going to have to go in the hospital today. This was 4 o'clock. It was New Year's Eve. She says, you're going to go to the hospital and be admitted this evening. All of the arrangements have been made. You have to go by way of the emergency room because that was the only way we could get you in to see this doctor. He's the number one in the southeast, but you have to go to the hospital. You can stop on the way and get something to eat. I looked at my assistant and I was like, I can't believe this. I'm going to be going into the hospital New Year's Eve and seeing somebody I don't even know who I'm seeing.
Exactly.
So when I got to the emergency room, it was packed. There was not a seat to be had. I was like, well, I guess we're going to be here for a while. I was there 15 minutes before they called my name. And then everybody looked at me because these people have been there for hours. I said, they're probably just calling me to do some lab work is what I said because everybody looked at me like, how is she getting called back already? She just got here.
Exactly.
So they called me back. They said, we're going to be admitting you. You're going to be handled a little differently. And I said, okay. They said, we're going to do lab work and some x-rays. And by the way, do you know why you're here? I said, yes, because I'm in liver failure. They said, well, that's true, but you're also in kidney failure, so we're going to have to deal with your kidneys before we even start to deal with your liver. I was like, what? How did I go into kidney failure on the way here? The two doctors looked at each other and said, you're in kidney failure, and we will deal with that first, and then we will deal with your liver. I said, well, I'm not claiming that one, no offense, nothing personal. I'll get to know you all, I'm sure, but I don't want that particular one right now.
I know. And may I interject something? Callers, we will be getting to you in a few minutes. For those who, because we have our switchboard is all lit up, Miriam. So
really?
We're going to take
okay.
some calls in a few minutes. But I want you to get to the point of where we can allow someone to come in and ask you a question.
Okay, what I wanted to share with everybody is do not claim what you want. Choose to smile. Choose to be happy. Choose to love. Choose to bless. Choose to be a blessing. Choose to be humble. Choose to be patient. Choose to be kind. And above all, choose God for your guide of your life, and he'll bring you through it.
And we know that. And I'm going to take a caller with that note, that uplifting note. So I'm going to take a caller because they are anxiously wanting to talk to you and ask you some questions. So I'm going to take our first caller. And hello, caller. Would you like to speak to Miriam? Please tell us who you are. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Would you please let us know who you are and what question you have for Miriam today?
This is Ruby Jackson, and I'm calling from Tennessee. And Miriam, your journey has just been incredible. And what I want to know is how are you feeling now?
I feel like I have been given a new lease on life, and I feel that God spared my life to share all of what I've learned to those who may not have someone to talk to about what they're going through. I'm willing to talk to anyone at any time about anything having to do with any type of illness, not just cancer, any type of illness.
Okay, that was one question, and I have one more for you. I have two more that are waiting, so we're going to move on, and I hope that that was a good answer for Ruby. And so here we'll take our other caller. Hello there. Would you like to ask Miriam a question, and would you please give us your name? Hello, caller. Okay, we're going to move to the next caller then. And speaking of that, though, before we bring this in, we all know God will bring you back to him in any way that he sees fit. And I tell you, if you didn't have faith at this time, I know it was strengthened like tenfold by this time, because you have gone through being told, or from what you have already said in this story, you were not really told. You read your papers and you saw it, but then you really didn't want to believe it. And then they're telling you as if, okay, now here we go. So they didn't give you time to digest that you really did have cancer, it seems like.
No, they did not. And I didn't digest it for quite a while. I think I didn't start to digest it until round one of chemo.
Yes, yes. Okay, we have another caller here. Hello, caller. Would you state your name and if you have a question or a comment for Miriam? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Would you like to speak to Miriam?
This is her friend, Helen, and I just want to give her my love, and I know what she went through, and God bless her heart, and tell her Renee, and also her friend Renee. We're listening to you.
Okay, so could you hear that, Miriam? It's two of your friends calling in to wish you love.
Well, thank you. I didn't hear the beginning. I couldn't quite hear, but I heard her say Helen, so I know that's Helen from Nassau, but I couldn't hear what the rest of it was.
Okay,
Renee.
Oh, Renee. Okay.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, please continue to listen, because we still have another 20 to 30 minutes left of the show. So I'm going to get back to you, Miriam, and would you please continue with your journey for the audience?
Yes, ma'am. One of the things I wanted to share with the audience is that there are a lot of natural things that people can do now that I was not aware of when I went through my journey. And a lot of them are herbs. Some of them are different things that just grow that you can eat, like cottage cheese and flaxseed oil that you mix together. It targets a lot of the cells that are not good cells. You know, our body is made up of good cells and bad cells, and cottage cheese and flaxseed oil, which I just recently learned, it attacks the cells that are not in the best shape.
And that's healthy.
That was remarkable. Yes, it is healthy.
You know, I listened to you. You sent me some information, and I found that very enlightening. And I actually ran out yesterday and bought my flaxseed oil, because it said that it would just bring more oxygen to the cells, which are obviously more oxygen heals and nourishes the cells. So I found that was easy. And then it's so easy that it's not going to hurt you, because they're two very easy products to digest. And so I listened to it and found it very informative. Now, what type of things have you done since your diagnosis? And you went through all of this, so you're here telling us the story. So they were able to, at that point, reverse the kidney and reverse the liver. And how long was the process for you to, how long did you stay in the hospital?
I stayed in the hospital for 8 days. And I was on IVs the whole time. I had to have a series of medication. And then my legs blew up tremendously. Well, my whole body blew up because they were trying to overload my body with fluids to try to help my kidneys, because I was literally a sneeze from having to go on dialysis.
Okay.
And I didn't want that. And they had told me, you're going to probably, if this doesn't work, you have to go on dialysis. And I said, I will do whatever you want me to do as long as I don't have to go on dialysis, because I want a quality of life. And if I can, I'd rather choose non-dialysis. So they said, good. So that's what we're going to do. So when my legs blew up, they looked like somebody who had elephantitis.
Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am.
Legs are
yes.
quite huge. And so both
yes.
of my legs overnight looked like that. And then they said, well, you're going to have to walk the halls. I said, how am I going to walk the halls with these legs? And they said, do the best that you can. Well, I
so
decided I was going to put on my sneakers, and the sneakers wouldn't fit. I said, just bring me anybody, any kind of shoe, anything I could put on my feet so I can start walking. So they found me those little hospital things, and I put those on, and I started walking. It was extremely painful because my legs had blew up so big. It was hard to walk. But I'd take a few steps, and I pray, and then I'd take a few steps, and I prayed, and I walked the entire hallway. And the nurses was like, oh, Miss Beckett, we didn't think you could make it that far. I said, y'all don't know Miss Beckett, but she's going to keep on trucking.
And you don't know how my blessings are continuing to flow. So you were, at this point, your cancer was under control. So that had not still been affected by this other. So what you have gone through now, which I'm sure is probably a pretty common thing, you just never know what your reactions will be, because now you're introducing all these foreign chemicals in your body. So
correct.
I'm sure that it's I'm not sure, but I would like to think that a lot of people don't go to the extreme as you did. And so they just never know what their journey is going to bring about, how much of a reaction they will have to these foreign chemicals.
Absolutely, because the chemicals even caused me to lose my voice. I couldn't talk for 3 weeks. Now, that was a real challenge.
Yeah.
They had to bring in a specialist because they said less than 5% of the people who go through chemo have this. I said, well, I don't want to be in that 5%. I want my voice back. Well, it didn't come back for a while, so I just prayed and I just looked at it. God wanted me to be quiet and silent, and he would determine when my voice would come back. And there was another flight attendant who came to bring me a book that was called Power Prayers for Women. While she was here, she said, do you mind if we say a prayer? I said, no, I was getting ready to ask you the same thing. We said this prayer, and when we finished the prayer, I said, thank you for coming. And she looked at me. She says, I don't know if you know it or not, but you're talking. I said, you're right. You're right. I'm talking. My voice is back. I said,
oh my
God, for whatever reason you were the person that this had to happen with, I just want to say thank you.
Oh,
and she says, Marion, you're talking. I said, I know. She says, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I said, neither can I, but I'm grateful. I said, my voice is back, and I'm back. And I said, and guess what? I'm going to get on the phone now and tell people I can talk. Because I couldn't talk for 3 weeks.
Oh, my. Well, you know, you said that flight attendant had a book. My guest last year was Patricia Johnson, and she has a book out, and it's called The Walking Miracle. And I think that she did call in and wasn't able to stay because she wanted to talk to you and also make a comment. But her journey was quite interesting as yours. And she's been a recovered survivor for many years now and doing well and looks fantastic. And so I'm speaking, Patricia, if you are still listening, or for those who know Patricia, I'm speaking on her behalf, because she did want to comment from one survivor to another survivor. And to both of you and to all of us, as I know, it's the power of your belief. It's the power of what God can do. And we all walk with that faith, and we know that. So if you will continue then, you've gone on now, so you're out of the hospital, and you're back home, and at this point, you now know and realize what you what is the follow up on things like this, and then what did you do in your diet? What have you done in your diet that things that you would recommend? Because you just mentioned the flaxseed oil and the cottage cheese. So what would be some other advice that you would give for those? Number one, you gave us the if you were diagnosed to realize it's not a death sentence. And with prayer and with medicine, you will walk through this and make it. So we all have to grasp that. And then the next thing is, what do you tell people or what have you done to keep yourself healthy? What are some of the things you have done?
Well, one of the things that I actually did while I was going through chemo, I was taking mangosteen. And mangosteen is a fruit that a lot of us never heard of. I only knew about it because I had been traveling to Hawaii prior to this diagnosis. And I started taking mangosteen again because I was taking it prior to this, but just prophylactically to help boost my immune system. Once my immune system got so compromised that they were wanting to give me additional medicines, I said, let me work on it myself first, and if I'm not successful, I will then concede to more medicine. Because with taking 8 medicines IV and the shot on Fridays, I just thought I was taking more than enough medicine, and I just felt the body could only take but so much. So I wanted to do some natural things to help myself. So I started taking the mangosteen 2 ounces 3 times a day to help with my white blood count so that I wouldn't get an infection while my counts were so low, because my body had become so broken down. I was trying to do everything I could to build it up because I would be suffering from cold, I'd be freezing, and it was in the middle of the summer. It was 95, and I felt like I was in 20-degree temperatures. So I had
to... I want to make sure, too, that the audience understand it is not mango.
It is not a mango.
Yes. So that's one thing I want you to reiterate, that it is not
mango
a mango.
Steam. One word, mangosteen, M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N. And it is a fruit, and you can get it now here in this country by going online. And I just learned that even Walgreens has it online now, a 16-ounce bottle. Have it. Your health
food store
carry it. I just learned this right before I was doing this show. So, and it's natural. And one thing about anything natural, your body's going to take what it needs, and what it doesn't need, you'll excrete through your urine. Another thing that I ate was all organic vegetables during the whole process, and I still do, and I don't cook them as much. I try to eat as much live food as I can because I feel the more live food you eat, the more life you will live.
Exactly.
And that's my belief. And so now I eat a lot more vegetables. I ate a lot of fruits during my ordeal with chemo. So now I do a little things with berries because they're high in antioxidants, the blackberry, blueberry. And I tell people, if you don't like the taste of it, juice it. Get it in you any way you can. I ate a lot of asparagus because asparagus, for some reason, it targets, it's something in the asparagus that targets the bad cells. So because of that, I also eat asparagus, and I still eat that. I don't eat hardly any red meat at all. I eat a lot of salmon, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, because of the omega-3s. I eat, and I broil basically everything. I don't eat any fried foods. But a lot of fruits and vegetables and a lot of green vegetables. But I also love carrots, so I always have to put those carrots in there because I love them too. So that's what I do in terms of my diet.
Well, and everything you have said, it doesn't seem to be anything that's so drastic. And we've always been told, and I'm sure you hydrate. You drink a lot of fluid.
I drink a lot of water. A lot of water, but I'm even particular about the type of water that I drink. There's a couple of waters out there that has a high oxygen content. When I can get those, I drink that, because the more oxygen you have in your system, the better it is for your blood, and it's going to be filtered through your liver. So even with that, when I was, after they finally finished with me with the kidney failure, when I was in liver failure, they had to put me on a medication that was extremely expensive. And then I asked them how long I had to be on this. They told me for the rest of my life. And that didn't sit well with me, but I didn't say anything to the doctor at that time. I stayed on it for a couple of years. And last April of this year, 2015, I asked him, I said, could I by any chance get off of this medicine? He said, oh, absolutely not. You have to stay on this medicine for the rest of your life. I said, well, could we try? And he looked at me. And he says, well, then you'd have to go back to the lab and we have to do some more lab work. I said, okay, that's fine. I did, and I'm not on that medicine.
Perfect, perfect. And that's, you're giving us, you know, not only, you have to listen to the physicians because they do know. God knows more than anyone in the whole world, and we know that. But you have to listen to them as a guideline as to what you should do, it seems. I mean, I'm just surmising what you have said to the audience and what I'm getting out of it. So you have to be wise, do your homework, and take your
and
life under...
And listen to your inner voice. You must listen to your inner voice.
Yes.
And then one of the other things I did was I did do colon therapy, which detoxify the body. Because with all the medicines I was having, and when you think about all the medicines we eat, the pollutant air that we breathe, some of the stuff that we drink, that they say it has one thing, it may have something else, but we don't know. We just have to hope and pray it's going to do our body good. But detoxify periodically to just clean the inside, just like you clean the outside. Because if you keep the inside of your body clean, there's no room for any type of disease whatsoever. That means no heart disease, no diabetes, no cancer, no lymphoma, no hepatitis, nothing. If you keep the inside clean, because if your lymphatic system is clean, which goes all through your body, and that if it filters through your liver, which all of our blood does, and your liver is clean, disease cannot, it won't have a nice house.
Yeah, it won't have a place to stay. It just continues to flow on out of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So detoxifying the body periodically is very, very important. But drinking a lot of water is very, very important. Keeping the inside of your body is just as important as keeping the outside of your body. No disease can exist in a clean body. It's impossible.
Wow. It's impossible. I tell you, I think we all... we have our good times and we have our bad times, because you know we're all going to slip and eat something you should eat, some fried food where you shouldn't, as we know it's not good for you. But if you try to make a conscious effort, a friend, my very close girlfriend, is going through her journey now with cancer, and I'm reading things with her. We are discussing the different things that she's learning, and so with that, it's making me become more aware of trying to clean up my act and to be conscious of the different things that you put into your body. We have one more caller that we see. Let's try to get in before the show ends. And so just one moment, let me bring this caller in. Hello, this is Casey, and Miriam is on board today. What would you like to ask, Miriam? Hello, caller, do you have a comment? Okay, well, we're going to go on, and we're pretty much bringing this to an end. We have 10 more minutes on the show, and I think that you have really given us some very insightful information, and your journey was a difficult one, but I know you never gave up. You never, ever gave up, and I'm sure that's one of the things that you would tell anyone from the very beginning if they happen to have the, as we say, dreaded diagnosis of the big C. The word is just, I guess you go into a fog when someone tells you something like this.
That's true, Casey, but one of the things I would like to share with you and the others who are listening is that, you know, cancer does not have to be a death sentence, and it's so many more things available to us. It's just a matter of finding it. And one of the things that I tell people is you got to do your homework. You have to also pray and listen to your inner voice, because God will tell you what you need to do. Just like when I said I didn't want to be, it's not that I didn't want to be on the medicine anymore. I thought it was time to get off of it. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing fine since I have been off of it. But I do eat properly. I do exercise. I take a dance class 2 to 3 times a week. I'm very active. I swim during the summer, and sometimes I swim during the winter.
Yes,
but
of course.
I had to keep my body clean on the inside. So I eat things that I know cleanses the liver. Papaya is one of them, the fruit. And I tell
okay.
people, if you don't like the taste of papaya, put it in a juice. Juice
yeah.
it. Just get it in you any kind of way that you can, so that you can cleanse your liver, cleanse your kidneys. Lemon and water helps with cleansing of the kidneys. And it also helps to clean the lymphatic system and help to keep your lymph nodes clean.
So plain
so
lemon
eat.
And water.
Uh-huh.
Lemon and water. So you can have a cup of lemon and hot water in the morning.
Yeah.
Start
and
your day off with this, yeah.
And that's very healthy for you. And one of the things that I learned is that it was so critical to drain your system. Because if I was to have kept all of that stuff in me after I had taken all of that stuff for 6 months, I might not be here today.
Exactly.
I had to continue to drink a lot of water and a lot of papaya. And, yes, it was expensive because sometimes I was having to eat it when it wasn't in season, so I had to search for it. But
exactly.
I also will tell you that music is very healthy while you're going through this. Laughter is very important while you're going through this. So if you have a friend who's going through this, tell jokes, make laughter, have fun. And I had a friend, Roscoe Ferguson. He's matter of fact, he's actually from Chicago, lives in D.C. now. He drove down here, and he just made us laugh so much so that our jaws hurt.
Well, laughter cures everything. And
laughter is
infectious. It just cures everything, yes.
And, you know, I have to share with you, Ruby, who called in, she had made me a quilt because
mm-hmm.
I was always so cold.
Mm.
That quilt, not only did it help me, but it helped everybody in the chemo room, because they, even though they didn't have the quilt, they had it to look at. And so
exactly.
many people loved looking at it. And one
oh.
girl in particular, she said, if you go to the bathroom, that quilt is not going to be here. I said, look,
well,
I can't
Ruby
carry the quilt
Ruby
to the
would
bathroom.
Have made another one. Ruby would
yes.
have made another one. She would have made as many as you needed, because that's the love that she had for you.
Right. But it brought a lot of happiness to others. The nurses loved it when I fell asleep, because they said, we could take it off, mess with it, play with it, put another cover on it, and she don't know nothing about it.
Oh, that's
And they
too
shared
funny.
That with me. So it. I said, did y'all actually do that? They said, yeah, you didn't know nothing about it. I said, you're right, I didn't. And I told
that
them, thank you for returning
funny.
It, so that when I woke up, it was still on me.
That is too funny. Well, we are very, very happy that you have shared your story with us today, and the joys and the discomfort that you went through. I mean, I just sat here and visualized everything with you, because I can't imagine being told, as we know, the little that we all know about our anatomy, that your liver and your kidneys are very, very vital. I mean, we know the heart is definitely a vital organ. But to be in both failure for these two organs, it had to be, and your poor son to have to go through. So, yeah, I'm glad that you have loved ones and friends, and we do in this job. We have developed great friendships and true friendship with a lot of people that we've come across in our career. But to have that support is very, very important. And I'm glad that you had it. I'm very happy that you had it.
And I encourage anyone, if you can just help somebody, whether it's with a smile, a phrase, a word or a hug, you never know how much you can touch them.
Absolutely. Or when you it turns around, you put it out there, you put out that goodwill, you never know when it may have to come back to you, and you may be in need of it. So
exactly.
It's a very small gesture, but it can mean a very, it can be monumental in its meaning and its healing process, too.
Exactly.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're coming to the end of the show, and I am going to thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story with us today. And for those callers that I wasn't able to get to, and you had a lot that wanted to comment today and to be a part of the show, and I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to get everyone. But for those that did get through, I'm sure they're very thankful to have been able to reach out and send love to you.
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
Well, at this point, I am going to allow you to leave the show, have a good day, and continue on with all the things that you've taught us. And I tell you, I picked up some things, and I'm going to go out, and I've already got my flax seeds and my cottage cheese, and I didn't know about papaya, and I love papaya, so I will also be picking up and taking notes of some of the things that you said just for healthy living.
And
I appreciate
it. I want you to also let everybody know how important it is to cut back on some of the, I call it, radiation trash, which is your microwave, your cell phone, the computers, and take breaks from those, because we don't know how that really affects the body, because those are heavy metals that can affect the body as well, because we're using them all the time, and they emit a lot of rays. So, you know, we
well,
have
that is definitely another.
That, yeah.
I tell you, that is another consideration, and we'll have to have you back on the show so we can do some homework and investigate. But for food for thought, I think that is a very, very good last words of wisdom to the audience. And so, Miriam, I'd like to say thank you once again for coming on today. And please, we will stay in contact with you, and we wish you and pray for your continued good health.
Thank you, and I appreciate it tremendously that you allowed me to share this with you and the rest of our audience.
Okay. Well, I hope that everyone enjoyed the show today. We are going to close this show, and we will be back on next Wednesday for the Fly Girl Show. And you know that the show is on from 11 to 12 Central Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-857-3609. And we will try to get as many calls in as possible. I'm sorry for those that weren't able to ask Miriam a question today, because we really had a very fascinating show. So once again, please tell your family and your friends to tune in to the Fly Girl Show. I am Casey Grant, your host. And once again, that call-in number is 347-857-3609. I'm going to sign off for today, and may I also remind you that your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. Have a pleasant day, and I will talk to you next week.